hands. Oh, Nanny, didn't die. Didn't die. What will we do without you? This girl implored. Hush, hush, said a small, stout woman standing by the side of the bed. Her voice was concerned and sympathetic, so the weeping girl turned towards her and was comforted by the touch of soft hands on her back and whispered words. You'll be all right. Dinna greet Marie. What a way to carry on, said the dying woman's sister, Martha, who was standing on the other side of the bed, her hard grey eye staring at the others. Take that greeting bairn downstairs, Mrs. Mather. She'll upset my sister, she said. With gentle hands, Tibby helped the girl to the door and whispered, Go and sit down in the parlour with David. Have a drink of milk and something to eat. The girl always seemed sickly. Although she was 11 years old, she looked about 9, and there was a worrying transparency about her skin, often seen in consumption sufferers. When she was told to eat, she refused with a shake of the head. I'd rather stay with Nanny. What if she wakes up and wants me? Tibby soothed her. If she does, I'll call you. I promise. The girl closed the door behind her, and the women heard her footsteps tiptoeing softly down the wooden stairs. Then Martha raised her eyebrows and said, What right is she to be weeping and wailing as if she was real kin? But she's as good as kin, protested Tibby. Martha snorted. No, she's not. She's greeting because she's losing a soft berth. And she's from a bad background. What sort of name's Marie? It's a name for papes. What she was saying was heard by the woman in bed, for Nanny's eyelids flickered. She gasped and reached out an emaciated hand as she groaned, Tak care o' my bairns when I'm gone. Tibby hurried over to the bed and wiped the waxen face with the corner of her apron. Rest easy, Nanny. The bairns'll be all right, she told the suffering women. Nanny's once bright blue eyes opened and stared into her friend's face. I'm dying, Tib, she whispered. But I didn't want my bairns to go into the foundling home. I've left letters about them in a box on the downstairs mantel shelf. Wordlessly, Tibby patted her hand, and soon Nanny was asleep again, her breathing harsh and shallow. The watching women glanced at each other, for this signalled the approach of the end. She's nearly gone. I'm going to bring up the bairns so they can say goodbye to her, said Tibby, rising to her feet. Martha frowned. You're being silly. They're just foundlings after all. Tibby glared and replied fiercely. That doesn't stop them loving her. Then she opened the door and called down the stairs. David, Marie, come up now. Two frightened-looking young people with poker-straight pale blonde hair and vulnerable white faces came hurrying upstairs. Like his sister, the boy seemed younger than his real age, for though he was often taken for 11 or 12, he was actually 14. When they entered the room, he was holding his weeping sister's hand. Say goodbye to her, said Tibby. And obediently, they bent over the dying woman, pressing their lips to her cheek. David was able to control his tears, but Marie broke down sobbing. I didn't want you to go, Nanny. Didn't leave us. You're all we've got, she implored. Martha pulled her roughly back from the bed. Get a grip on yourself, girl, she said harshly. In a swift movement, the boy jumped between them and the ferocity of his stare was frightening. Get your hands off my sister, he hissed. Startled, Martha dropped her hand from the girl's shoulder, but to cover up her confusion, she said loudly,